Om Shanti. Lately we've been talking about self-empowerment, and what we got out of it was that self-empowerment starts from me. I need to change myself, and it is when I become what I want others to be is when people will follow me. One of the techniques to self-empowerment is meditation. And you know, when we think of meditation, the first thing that comes to our mind is sitting in silence. But is that all that really is to meditation? With us today, we have Brother Anthony all the way from Greece. Tell us a little bit about meditation. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Brother Anthony, welcome to the show. Please tell me, I mean, when people say meditation and silence and inner peace, these are really big words. And you know, half of us really don't know how to get there.
Yes.
So how do we get there?
Well, first of all, it's good to understand that it's not only just being a little bit quiet and peaceful that is going to create the success that we would like in facing people and situations. It's like everything, there are many factors, and it's a whole package. For example, I may learn a technique of just being quiet and silent, but then after about 10 minutes, as soon as I'm involved in words and actions, I can get irritated, I can react, many different things. And so it's to understand that actually the level of awareness or the level of attention has to be throughout my whole day. It's not that I'm not paying any attention during the day. My mind is going everywhere. My tongue is going everywhere. And then I want to, you know, I feel very desperate, I feel very tired, I feel very stressed. Okay, let me just now meditate a little bit. I'm not saying it won't help, but it should be integrated.
It's supposed to be help. It's very limited, you know. This is such a big problem you're addressing that happens to all of us. I go to my happy place, and I'm happy there for some time, but I come back, maybe somebody comes in, I have an argument with my worker, with my colleague, with a friend, and again I go back into that dizzy of things happening around me. Probably the effect is over in 5 minutes.
But that's the whole point, is that with a lot of attention, then I start to integrate those spaces of silence and peace in my everyday life. It's like, you know, people usually separate going to the temple and business, going, you know, praying or meditating and work or family. You know,
they always do that.
They need to be integrated. That's how we're actually going to work.
I don't understand anything that silence is possible while working.
Yes, of course.
How is that so? I mean, how can you do that?
It's silence in the set. Like we spoke about in the last program, you know, one thought, 1 second,
one breath.
And with those few seconds of attention and concentration, I can integrate that into my, you know, into my everyday work, into my everyday life. So it's, of course it's possible. It's just using these little steps to do it.
So
because
that's
I
like
to keep it separate.
Yeah. We always do. We say, actually, this is my home, this is my spiritual life, and then this is work.
Spirituality is in everything, because spirituality means, you know, the attitudes, the values, the thoughts, the feelings that are supposed to be positive. And so that should, it's not to be separated.
You mean to say you're living as a spiritual being and then secondary being everything else?
Yes, I'm living as a spiritual being, that is, I'm a qualified human being with quality human relationships. This is what it means. Not, you know, this part of my life, then that other part. The integration, if you ask me what is it that meditation is trying to do, it's actually trying to create an integration in the self, but also from the self into everyday life.
So when I'm in a situation where I'm not fond of, how do I deal with that? I mean, I can't sit there and say, I'm going to close my eyes for a few seconds. At that moment,
then I have to be quiet for a few seconds and see what's appropriate to think, see what's appropriate to speak. It may be that I don't speak. Maybe it is. See what is appropriate to do. So I don't want to think of wrong or right, because sometimes we get caught up in this. This is right, this is wrong. But if I'm able to feel the pulse of the person and situation, then I do what is appropriate. For example, today with this person, I need to be patient. Now they're a bit in upheaval, they don't listen to anything, okay, be patient. Tomorrow with that same person, it may not be appropriate to be patient. Maybe it's more appropriate to communicate something. It depends. See, we're too much wanting to use formulas and slogans all the time.
Yeah. We want a quick fix to everything.
But although the slogans may be right in themselves, you know, in applying them personally to my everyday life, I've got to tune into the necessity of the moment. Yeah. This is why meditation helps me to be more aware.
It opens your intellect, so you know when to do what, when to apply action, when to apply thought.
And the type of thought, you see, and the type of action.
What kind of person I'm dealing with, is he receptive or not?
That's right.
Am I receptive? I think half the time you're yourself not receptive to the good that you get.
Yes, because we're not listening. We're not receptive because we're not listening. We're not receptive because we're very defensive. We think that somebody with a different point of view, I may think they're attacking me. But so meditation, and there's different, you know, words for meditation.
Tell me about Raja Yoga meditation, because that's what I really practice.
Yes, I practice Raja Yoga meditation, but maybe before going into that, just looking at the word of meditation, of what it means to step inward, to connect with myself or with others in a different way. Actually, the word meditation, they say it comes from a Latin word, medere, which means to heal.
So
healing, yes. So with right attitude, I go inside and then with the right attitude, with the right thought, I start to heal. And one of the aspects of healing, is trying to reconcile and trying to integrate things that from the past, you know, wounds, all this, I try to heal them. That's one aspect of meditation. The second aspect of meditation, you see, in Europe, we use the word meditation. Okay, there's a little bit of the pronunciation is a little bit different in Spanish or Italian or Portuguese or
whatever. But it's almost the same.
It's almost the same. In Greece we have a totally different word, which is dialogismos, which means dialogue. The whole idea of dialoguing with yourself, of self-examination, which again in Raja we say checking. Checking to see where you're at. Checking to see what has to change. And so this self-examination gives worth to my life. Because instead of being stuck in the same track, in the same hole, through self-examination, I'm making an effort to try to get out of it. So that's another aspect.
You also think you end up objectifying yourself, which you don't normally do. You're so involved in me, I. But then this way you go out, you say, this is Tandi and this is how her life is going and this must change.
Yes. If you see us, you know, you talk to yourself in the third person, it can help.
So try that. Try and talk to yourself in the third person.
Because it's like it gives a healthy space. That's where detachment comes in. People are afraid of this word sometimes. Detachment.
You don't keep moving from something. I have to lose something.
But they don't realize that actually detachment means respectful space, whether it's with people or whether it's within yourself. You know, you give this space to understand better, to see things more clearly. So that's the second aspect of meditation, dialogue. And the third aspect is the Sanskrit or Hindi word yog, yoga. And that is, yes, the link with the divine, the link with God. Because, you know, people tell me, well, you know, meditation, people just want to relax. That's one aspect of meditation, is relaxing. But there are many other aspects. And one other major aspect is also this link with the Supreme Source, because that gives me another energy.
You're having a dialogue with yourself, you're having a dialogue with the Supreme.
Yes.
And you get to forget for a while. So all these things together.
Yes, you forget, you don't focus on problems. You know, sometimes people think, oh, I have to focus on a problem all the time to get the solution. I need to understand it and analyze it to a point, but sometimes I need to move right away from it. Because then if you are having yoga with your problem, you become the embodiment of your problem. Because, for example, if you worry a lot and you are because of a particular problem, you're just lost in the spinning. I just keep worrying and keep worrying. Where in meditation, it's like, okay, full stop, quiet. Don't keep, you know, thinking and rethinking and rethinking in the same way over and over again. Just be quiet. Just link with your highest self, I, the soul, link with God, and get another breath, get another perspective. Because now, when you're very caught up in something, if you don't take a break, if you don't take a distance, you get very entangled. It can be with a problem, it can be with a person, it can be with anything.
Seen this happen so many times. I mean, you have a problem and you seem to stretch it. Stretch it till it doesn't hurt you enough. And then again, by the end of it, you're still confused. So it's nice to just distance yourself. Don't think about it for a while. And I feel maybe the answer will just come up to you and yourself, because maybe somewhere we have the answers within us. Yes. We just don't give them that silent space to come out.
Well, this is why we use in our yoga the word a lot, remember.
Remember.
Because it's like the soul has all the blueprints inside it. But with all the confusion of noise and interactions and reactions and all this, that blueprint is covered over. And this is why that in silence, if I can give myself space, then I start to remember those original blueprints. I start to remember those original powers. And what I remember, I am absorbed in that. And you asked about Raja Yoga. This is what Raja Yoga is, you know, it's called the king of yogas. That I have this kingship in myself.
What does that mean? I have a kingship.
That my mind doesn't have a mind of its own.
So it doesn't mean that I am anybody else's king.
I'm a king in myself.
I am my own king. I control myself.
Yes, there's other images sometimes that they use. The charioteer, the one who holds the horses, the senses.
The one who's holding the reins.
The ones who's holding the reins. So different words that demonstrate this inner freedom. I'm not a victim of my past. I don't blame a habit. I am not thrown here and there by thoughts that I don't really want. I start to master. I start to become the king of this kingdom, of my inner system, my thoughts and my feelings, and of my senses. A horse, when you learn to ride a horse, they have a rein, eh? Now, they said you never hold the reins too tight, because the horse then bolts. It doesn't like it. Or you don't keep the reins too loose, because then the horse can go wherever it wants. So the same way with our mind or with our senses, with our feelings, we have to know when to actually pull it back, when to be able to be flexible and let it go. And this is why the meditation and the inner eye, the third eye, opens, and it's able to understand all these things. Discernment. This is what discernment is. But of course, meditation gives me many other things as well. I mean, it gives me this power to discern, but many other things.
So when I do this for myself, when I have the power to discern something in my own life, it's only then that I can maybe use this in somebody else.
I'm never too much in a hurry to use it on anybody else.
Okay.
Because there's discernment, and then there's the decision, and then there's the action. Because, for example, I can discern I shouldn't be thinking so much. I can discern, I shouldn't be criticizing so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? But then, you know, then I have to make a decision to change it. I make a decision, this is not good, and then I've got to carry it through in action. Yeah? And then once I'm getting better and better, people learn a lot through behavior. They don't learn so much through teachings and corrections, if anything.
So you're saying that the starting point of action is meditation.
Thought, yes. Every thought, a thought will at one point become
an action.
Yes, so the quality of the thought will determine the quality of the action.
So it's just one must have wonderful thoughts every day in order to have wonderful actions. I mean, that's all we need to do, just think well.
Yes.
But you make it sound so easy.
It is simple once you really start.
Is it in our nature? Is it in our nature to just be good? And then why are we not?
Our original nature is goodness. But there's been a lot of pollution, a lot of influence.
But that's why we're drawn to good people, you know. When I say I like so and so, I like them because they're good to me.
Yes.
Therefore, that means something in me is connecting with that goodness, and I know I am good, therefore I like good.
Yes. The instinct of the human soul is peace, goodness, truth, happiness. It's deep instincts within every human soul, no matter the nationality. I may not speak Hindi, I may not speak Chinese, but I can tell from the eyes and the behavior if this person is loving, if this person is cheating, the language of silence, that is the language of feelings. You know, love is understood, peace is understood, honesty is understood, as are the negative things. A person may not say anything, but you can see from their eyes, from their mouth, from the color of their skin, if they're angry.
Yes. So when you're in meditation, what do you do? Are you talking? Are you silent? Are you having
a silence? It depends on where I am. Silence. Silence has, it's a number of aspects. There's the silence where I'm reflecting. For example, there's been an argument with somebody very close, and they say, you know, you're so egoistic, you've been like this for years, you have never changed, you're always so critical.
Now, I'm so familiar.
I can either react and say, it's your problem, that's the way you see it, or I can go deep in myself and reflect. I don't have to take it personally.
Exactly.
But I can objectively reflect. Is there any truth in that?
Why are we thinking so badly?
This is reflection. Reflection is very important, not to have anger, I want to hit back, or feeling guilty. And we all reflect in one way or another. Some just reflect in the wrong way. See, people have come up with new things. I must have reflected. The person who invented the electricity, the person who invented the telephone, I mean, they must have reflected. In education, you see, you know, Maria Montessori, you know, for example, she brought up very, very new ideas for how to teach little children. And you know, she stayed many years in India, and she learnt a lot from observing things here, as well as in her native country. So, reflection, and then observing.
And observing from another, you have to pull out and observe from there.
Yes. And so these are aspects of silence. Also, silence is concentration. I'm concentrating deeply. When you say Om Shanti, I'm concentrating. No other thoughts except this. I am.
Peace.
I am a soul. I am peace. And when I'm concentrating, what happens? I connect.
So when you say Om Shanti, that's it. It's just that, in that moment.
Yes, in that moment, in that second, however long you like. But when I'm concentrating with all of my attention, not forcing it, a gentle determination and attention. I am a soul. You repeat it in a few words. I am peace. Peace. Peace is harmony. pieces balance very slowly. And that what happens when you're concentrated to something, you're connected with it. And when you're connected, it's like putting the plug in the socket. Once you get it, the current comes. This is what happens. So I will feel that inner harmony. I will feel that peace. So silence is these.
So true. I mean, we say Om Shanti. I say it at the beginning of the show. But saying it with that that meaning or that 100%, just Om Shanti.
Yes.
It makes you feel better in an instant.
It's very different. This is why silence, it gives me the attention not to make it mechanical. And this is a lot of unhappiness in our lives, is because many things have become
mechanical. I mean, worship, especially, I mean, what I've seen growing up, worship is mechanical. We worship God, you know, we have our pujas, we have festivals, and we have idols of gods that we worship. But in some way, when we worship them, we disassociate ourselves from that, and we think, that is goodness. And this is me, impure. Please, Lord, make me pure again. And I feel some other love is missing. I mean, if I was talking to my father, I wouldn't worship him.
No.
I would love him.
Well, you know, wrong humility.
What does that mean?
You know, people think that by saying they're bad, they have no virtue, and that God is everything and very good. I think that that's humility. But, you know, it's a kind of subservience. And as you say, a father or a mother would never want their children to be subservient. And worshipping, usually that's our need.
To worship.
But God doesn't have the need to be worshipped.
Do we have to be the father figure? Is that why we're in this? That we have a lack of one and we need somebody above us?
No, we just have needs. Whether it's father, mother, banker, teacher, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, there are needs. Now, you know, people fulfill their needs in different ways. They may fulfill it through religion, they may fulfill it through material things, whatever it is. You know, people will tell me sometimes, some of my friends would say, well, you know, well, I don't believe in all this religion, I don't worship any god or goddess. I said, yeah, you're not, but you're actually worshipping money, because all your energy is going to creating money. You're worshipping the body of some Hollywood or Bollywood actress, you know. Isn't this also a type of worship?
I see, when people say, you know, I'm a narcissist, they say it with some sense of pride, almost that, okay, I do not believe in idol worship, and I am not like you, but... But
they're worshipping
something else. Money, family, anything else.
Yes, or just themselves. You know, it can be, everybody's doing it because everybody's in a state of need.
You're getting something out of narcissism also. It's not that you're not getting anything.
Of course, and when a person is narcissistic, usually they're very self-centered, and they don't appreciate actually all the help that is given. But again, getting back to this idea of worship and putting it in the context of religion or spirituality, some people believe from a love. I mean, it's not everybody's the same. Huh? Some people are very sincere.
I used to think my grandmother was very sincere.
Some are very sincere.
But sometimes I always find something missing. You know, she'd tell me it's so-and-so festival, dress like this, eat like this, do this, but I never understood. It was more like a family gathering.
Yes.
Then a deeper meaning to it.
Yes.
So how do I find that if
I... Then each one has their own destiny, each one playing their own part. You can't copy anyone else. You can learn from others, we can learn from others, like from the grandmother or the grandfather, which I had also. Very good examples, very sincere people. And I learned from them sincerity. But it's not for me, you know, to do this or to do that.
Why your sincerity is different, I think.
Yes, but also the intention. You see, the intention was good, even though it didn't appeal to me personally. You can still respect their intention and respect their sincerity.
Intent is so important, I think. I mean, if you have malintent, or a selfish intent, even towards a good thing, somehow it doesn't come out right. Like, it's very nice what you said, I'm the first me.
Yeah.
I don't have to ape anybody else.
You can't. I mean, we're all different. You know, like in a play, right? You read Shakespeare's Hamlet. There are not two Hamlets. There's only one. Ophelia, there's only one. There's not many. It's the same way with the human drama. The beauty of this human drama is the variety. Yes, we can be like each other, we can learn from each other, but ultimately, each one is unique.
Thank you so much, Brother Anthony, for teaching us these things today. There's a lot that I know I'm going to pick out from this and try and practice myself. Right now, maybe, starting now. Thank you so much, Brother Anthony, again.
Thank you.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
I think what I really got out of this today was that we have a sense of, maybe we have a sense of fake humility, that we say, God is so wonderful and I'm so bad, and come, Lord, please uplift us and take us somewhere else. Whereas the whole process of my upliftment is in me, and He has given that to me. And another thing that was wonderful was that when I talk to my parents, I talk with love, not with worship. So if maybe I treat God as my friend or my companion, or maybe even a husband or a daughter or a child or a father, and talk to Him like that, there's that bond, the connection is way stronger than it is if I worship Him as another being or a superior being. I think this starting now would be a wonderful way to connect with Him. That's all for now, and I will be seeing you soon. If you have anything you'd like to share with us, an experience, or something you'd like to add to us, we'd love to hear from you at. If you wish to discuss your problem, or have a question to ask, or want to know your nearest Raj Yoga Meditation Center, write to us on awakening@pmtv.in or call us on 099-99-559-660. We'll be continuing with more of this next time. Till then, Om Shanti. Have a great day ahead of you, and I hope it all goes well.